Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're at Grand Central Terminal, the Waldorf Astoria Room or Vanderbilt Hall or something. Vanderbilt, right, Boom?
Yeah, it's Vanderbilt.
I got Russ Salzberg here. I want to do a whole thing with Russ. Just pardon me for 1 minute, Russ.
Be my guest.
Have to do this. So way to my right is a young, handsome man named Stevie Cohen. And many of you never heard of Steve Cohen, and for good reason. So I want Stevie to come up here for a reason, because while there's a lot of bad guys in radio, some of them do afternoons, some don't. I was an intern at The Fan as The Fan celebrated its first anniversary. So before you started, Russ, I'm pretty sure, you're there for your
93,
three, I think, right?
93.
Yeah, so I was an intern on the Pete Franklin Show. And there were two guys there that board opt and produced Pete's show. It was Bob Gelb, who left when Imus left, terrible decision, came back, and he does sales now and does a great job, and Steve Cohen. Stevie was a lifer at The Fan, and then wound up going to Sirius, and is now one of the top executives and runs like the whole sports show.
Well, he's the guy that broke up Mike and the Mad Dog.
Well,
I'm the Yoko Ono.
Yes, you're the Yoko Ono. Yes, you are.
So I wanted to bring Steve on because I want to thank him. Because as a kid, an 18-year-old, who is at WFN, which I listened to like every other New York kid during its first year at night on the radio, and heard, you know, Steve Fredericks, who since unfortunately passed away, and Jody Mack and all the guys that did it, Stevie always had my back. So whenever Pete Frank was being an a-hole, or things weren't going well, or they wanted me erasing tapes all day and not doing nothing, Stevie was always a bright light. And one of the reasons I decided to stay and try to do radio was because of him. And I just want to thank you for that and acknowledge that you were at The Fan from day one, just about, and parlayed The Fan into a great career. And I just want to acknowledge you and say thanks and see how you're doing.
Well, I'm doing great, and I want to let you guys know, even though I've built 16 sports talk radio stations now, I listen to you guys every morning, and I'm so proud of you guys. You guys do the best morning sports talk show in the country. I love listening to you as I'm washing myself in the morning. It makes me feel close to you guys. But Craig was amazing, because back then, the early days of our softball team, we couldn't get people to play.
Right.
I would pick him up at his home in New Rochelle.
Yes.
Okay. His dog, he had a monster of a dog, used to jump into my Ford Probe. That tells you how long it was. And we go all over the tri-state area.
So was he as much a pain in the ass back then playing softball as he is today?
The only difference is he had long, lustrous hair back then.
I did.
He was a very handsome man. But, you know, I love you guys. Boomer was always amazing to me when I was the executive producer of the Jets Radio Network.
Right.
Always gave me time. Always gave me grief, which I knew he'd be a great sports talk show host,
you know,
because he had it in him.
You know, I was always give you grief because your wife was the traffic voice of 880. Was it 880?
No, I'm in the morning.
I'm in the morning.
That's Marquesi Cohen.
Yes. And I used to always make fun of the fact that she had the job that I always wanted.
Right?
I always wanted to do traffic. Yes,
wow.
Joel told Craigie, yes.
And then when they were dating at the very beginning, this one time, Stevie used to come to my house and pick me up and take me to the game. And this one time, respectfully, there's a very attractive woman in the car.
Yes.
I'm like, what's going on here? And he gives me the wink. He goes, I think she's the one.
Yeah.
I go, well, if she's in that car picking me up, going to some godforsaken sandlot in Tarrytown to watch us play softball, she must be a very special girl. And I love the fact that she hyphenated it.
Yeah.
Because I would have left the cone out.
Yeah. That's
Are you guys aware that Stevie Cohen's a Hall of Famer? Tell him, Stevie.
Boomer.
Recently inducted.
Governor Christie,
I was voted into the Fantasy Sports Hall of Fame this past week.
For the weather stuff?
Fantasy Sports Hall of Fame.
So everybody came out of their basements to attend. Okay. That's the joke.
Right.
But Boomer gave me grief. One day, LaGuardia Airport, I'm on Chet Kopick the night before doing a fantasy preview, saying how Dan Marino would have more yards and touchdown passes against the Jets than Boomer would. He looked at me when he watched it, and he looked at me. He gave me so much grief.
Was that the spike game?
No, this was a road game. We were headed out.
And we beat them.
To Miami.
And that means we beat them.
Yeah, you did.
Well, let me say this before I turn my attention over to Russ. The other story I've told a few times in the last month, even though I disliked Pete Frank and I thought he was a bad guy, Stevie and Bob were going to be fired. The station wasn't doing well at the time. This is before Imus had gotten there, and it became what it is. And the one great thing that Pete Franken ever did, he went to management and said, if you fire Steve and Bob, I'm walking out the door. And at the time, he was important to the radio station. And I remember Steve told me that story. And it's one of the reasons, as you paid forward, you remember that. And you tried to do right by the guys that, you know, the other guys never heard of. But he saved your career by doing it.
Yeah, he was special. He also convinced me to stop being a single jerk and get serious with this young woman, Eileen Marchese Cohen. Eileen Marchese at the time.
Yes.
And so he said, you know, get off the streets and do something with your life.
Well, you outkicked your coverage, I can tell you that.
Thank you.
And congrats on everything at Sirius.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We see Steve once here at Super Bowls.
Yes.
Maybe we'll have a cup of coffee tomorrow and change all that. Who knows? Russ, my main man. So when they put you together with Steve Summers, did they, was that incubated where you were down with it? Or at the very beginning, you were like, I don't want that?
No, you want to know something? Because I didn't realize when I was doing the radio at the very beginning, I'm a big believer in two is better than one. Because one becomes a monologue, two is a dialogue. You can bounce, whether you agree or disagree, you can bounce stuff, you can laugh off each other. To me, it just works better. The dynamic works better. I mean, you know, we would drive each other crazy sometimes, as you two can drive each other crazy sometimes. And, you know, Steve was unique. The one thing about Steve, he came to the table every day just trying to do best for the show. Like, you know, he's a very talented writer.
He's selfish.
People that don't know, he does something that's a lost art. I mean, I could have never done it. I think Boomer could have done it. His monologue is handwritten in long form and script.
Also on yellow paper that was originally white.
To this day, you ain't lying. So I always wondered this, and I've played maybe one or two golf tournaments with you. We never got to know you. How did the sweater thing start? Was it done on purpose, or it just became?
No, you want to know something? I started my career in Toronto. And the owner of the station at the time, who was a genius, he saw me in the field one day. He says, you know, I like the sweaters. You know, why don't you just wear them? So I wore them. Anyway, long story short, fast forward, I come to New York, and I'm interviewed with the news director at Channel 9.
Right.
And I come in wearing a sport jacket and a tie. First thing out of his mouth, where's the sweaters? We want the sweaters. So I'm wearing the sweaters for years and years. But then, I don't know if you remember, Craig, I used to do sports at a sports location. It was a desk separate from the anchor desk. And then they moved us together. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, you know what? This doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right because everybody else is dressed nice.
I said to my wife, I said to my agent, you know what? Maybe it's time to make it. Because it looks like I'm trying to be different to make like a rebellious statement. And that looks stupid. So, and then it changed to suits. But people still call me the sweater.
Did people send you sweaters? Like, you know, Tom Jones, people throw panties at him.
I used to get companies calling and this and that, or that you want to send a sweater here and there.
So now you, it's funny, being a New York kid growing up, as Boomer was, I think, with due respect, and, you know, Marv Albert did it, Len Berman did it, I'm talking about the sports, Warner Wolf, of course, the single greatest sports anchor on 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock news was a man, see if you know what I'm thinking of.
I bet you
who
I know.
Do you think he was?
We, obviously, you're not talking about me.
I'm sad. That's why I said with respect. There's one guy that you have to be 40 over to have known him.
Right, because
he passed away.
He was a little before me, and he was just on for a little bit on Channel 11, Jerry Girard.
Jerry Girard was the best. Now, Jerry Girard was small stature-wise, loved the track, but Jerry Girard would do a sports anchor thing on Channel 11, like a talk show.
Right.
He would tell you the score, but he'd say, look at this one play in the third quarter where the left guard fell asleep. And he wouldn't show you the touchdown.
I know him a little bit. He was also a real character. I mean, I think, like you say, he's passed away. I think to the day he passed away, he was living with his mother. Jewish guy living at home with his mother.
Well, the point being is that he actually took it to another level.
He was
entertaining,
yes,
as opposed to just giving scores and all that stuff. So when you were on the radio at WFN, I think I was playing for the Jets, I believe.
Yeah, sure.
So I gave you
I remember the press conference when you came to the Jets.
Yes. We actually gave you a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh, you certainly
and Schmooze,
did.
Right?
You certainly did.
Did the Schmooze ever tell you that he would run into me at the clubs at night and ask to cut the line?
He couldn't get in.
I just can't remember. I can't imagine Steve.
Yes.
Going to a club.
Yes.
Period.
He did.
He used to come. Was it not
the salamander or something?
Oh,
like that,
the club iguana.
The club iguana. What about
yeah. Now let me ask you this.
Some reptile. Yeah.
Talking to Russ Salzburg. Are you good now? Bored at home? Are you, is your wife kicking you out? Like, what do you do? How you pass? Are you playing golf?
No.
What are you doing?
You know what? I used to golf. In fact, Boomer and I don't know if you remember this, when they used to have the NFL.
At Montclair.
The NFL Seniors Circuit Tournament at Montclair. And Steve Rosner, because I always used to host the quarterback challenge and this and that, they'd have me play in the Pro-Am. Boomer, myself, teamed up with no less than Arnold Palmer.
That's right.
And I shanked. It was a rainy, nasty day.
I didn't play golf in front of Arnold Palmer.
Arnold Palmer. And I also remember Boomer and I standing in the tee box, and the people are lining up on each side, and Boomer and I are looking at each other like, we're not pros. We're going to shank it, and somebody's going to get hit in the mouth. But what were you saying?
I don't remember, but I do know this. You have one of the most.
You were asking me what I was doing.
Oh, yeah, what are you doing these days?
I'm still.
You got a blog, podcast?
I still, some of the things I'm kind of like looking into doing that. I'm still doing some features. In fact, we had a couple of features nominated for Emmys at Channel 5, but.
It's enough.
You know, go to Florida, play shuffleboard and fish. They can bury me working. I'd rather work.
I don't blame you.
No, I'm serious. I fully.
You enjoy
fully
it.
Fully enjoy it. And like now I consider myself, what is they say in baseball, an unrestricted free agent.
I
do my stuff, but I can do anything I want.
But
I've been doing a little radio stuff.
For people that have ever Googled your name, obviously an interview with Mike Tyson comes up. Now, for those of you that don't know it, Mike decided that every other word was going to be a curse word. And you were like real classy, Mike. I forget the exact line. But did you know when he sat down you were in trouble or no?
No, here's exactly what happened. We got a phone call a couple of days before. Hey, Russ, do you want to do an interview? It was one of those satellite interviews. He was in Vegas. It was before the Francois Botha fight, which was coming back after the biting the ear off of Evander Holyfield. So the PR woman says, Russ, you want to interview Mike Tyson? So I said, yeah, what makes you come to me? She says, well, we're only going to one station in each market. You do a lot of boxing. I said, sure. I said, but let me ask you a question. Where am I on the list? He says, why? I said, because if I'm number 10, he's going to be cranky by about number 5. I got to be up there early. She calls me back. She says, you're number 2.
All right.
I says, fine. I says, okay, done deal. So we're doing the, you know, we're taping the interview. And, you know, I know he's going to be cranky, but It's got to be on air. So I ask him a question. It's like, bleep this, you know, bleep that. It's a fight, so bleep it. And I asked him, the question was, Mike, does rage sometimes work against you in the ring? Well, what do you mean? I says, well, for example, rage, you know, against
Holyfield,
you bit his ear off.
Right.
Bleep, like, but you... The stuff that was totally bleeped out, he's talking about my mother and talking about, and you don't like a man, turn off your station. You know, so he's, you know, I laugh now, though, because they say he's a changed guy. He's not a changed guy. The difference now is when you need to make money, you all of a sudden you got to be a nice guy. It was the same thing with A-Rod. He's redeemed. Redemption is when you redeem yourself for sins. Where's he redeeming himself? He needs to change his image, so he needs to be a nice guy. He needs his job on Fox or whatever, so he's being a nice guy.
A lot of guys in sports broadcasting have turned from the bad athlete who was a pain in the ass to now being the guy that's in front of the microphone pontificating on
things. Half the Denver Bronco team did it.
I'm Boomer Esiason.
How long did you do the midday show?
Did it from 93 to 2000.
Well, it's almost
seven years, man. That's like
93 to 2000. It's hard to believe. Like, you know what? And I'm not pandering to you guys. What'd you say? I was driving in this morning. It's going to be 10 years.
Yeah.
Goes to show you. I mean, people. Everybody's a smart ass. Everybody thinks they know the answer. Nobody was giving you guys a chance.
Nope.
10 years later.
So I mean, Chernoff told us that you called him and said, these guys suck. I'll do it.
No, that's not true.
That's what Mark told me.
Mark, get over here.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for coming.
Ross, always great to see you.
Coach Salisbury, everybody, for 8 years, held down the midday spot that Joe and Evan now have, and good to have him here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.